Thank you, preacher. Thank you so much. I was fixing to open the door and see if that man was here. All that good stuff that I heard there. I'm so excited about being here this week, and I have met several of you and got to talk with you and some veterans here, and God bless our veterans, amen. And a lot of veterans of the Lord's armies here today, and it's probably most of you, and what a blessing to be able to be around you this week. I hope to get to know some of you better. I've learned some names. I don't know that I'll remember them all, but we can fellowship in the Lord. Amen? Amen. And so it's exciting to be here. I'm excited about Sunday school and certainly excited about your theme, Contending for the Faith. And I want you to know that when I entered into the ministry and started the first church, we have been contending for the faith now for 37 years. Are you listening? It's not any different today, other than there's more of an attack upon the Bible, attack upon Christianity, attack upon the local churches today. And ladies and gentlemen, unless the Lord does something miraculous through His people, it's not going to change. And so the thing about it is, what do we need to learn? What do we need to gather in our hearts and in our minds that will help us to continue in this contending for the faith? So we're going to look at some scripture in just a moment. In fact, go ahead and turn, if you will, in your Bibles. Got a couple of scriptures up here right now. Jude 3, if you'll turn to that little book, and then we're going to go to Hebrews right there close by. And, preacher, thank you for the good words. Thank you for your faithfulness over all the years. And the people he's been associated with in the ministry and in the Lord's work are people we've been associated with. And so we have kind of a camaraderie there, and good people. And I want to say something to you before we get into this lesson that you have before you today. Your pastor becomes the most important person in this church for the body of Christ. He's the one who will love you. He's the one who will pray for you. He's the one who will visit you when you are sick. He'll be the one to visit you in a hospital. God forbid you have to go, but if you're there, he'll be there. He'll be the one. One other thing I want to say right off the bat, and I want you to listen to me carefully, because this church has had other pastors, and we've seen other churches have other pastors, and you have to understand, you remember Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, yes. And he said, pressing forward. That's what we have to do. Sometimes the pastor will disappoint us, amen? Sometimes even membership people will disappoint us, but this is the pastor God brought, and what I've heard over the past couple of years they've been here, God's doing a dynamic work here at Gospel Light Baptist Church. And so your responsibility is very clear through Scripture, and I want to deal with that today in your lesson material here in just a moment. Let's pray again before we get started, not because his wasn't good enough, but because I need it, amen. Okay? Father in heaven, we sure love you, and thank you for allowing us to be here. Thank you for the invitation of this pastor. Thank you for the good, sweet spirit we feel in the church today. And I pray, Heavenly Father, you'd use us to challenge, to encourage, and Lord, where reproof and rebuke is needed, that you, through the Holy Ghost of God, will do your work in individual hearts. And Lord, bring us all into unity and all into oneness in you this week. We pray and ask it in Jesus' name, and for his sake only we pray. Amen and amen. In the book of Jude, verse number 3, and if you're in this contending for the faith, you probably have heard this already. It said, Beloved. Well, that answers who he's talking to right there. He's talking to you and I who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. He said, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you. I don't know about you, but I like exhortation. Amen? I like to be exhorted. He said, exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now, throughout your lesson this morning, you're going to find out that we're going to read from Ephesians chapter 4. And I'll go ahead and say out front, how many gods is there? One God. One faith. One Lord. Everybody agree with that? Say amen. Amen. All right. If there's one faith, then somebody has to have that, don't they? Faith is an embodiment of truth. Truth is a book you hold in your Bible called the King James Bible. That's truth. That's God's truth to you and I. So when you think about that and think about that embodiment of truth, that's what God says we are to contend for. Contend for the truth. I'll preach a message later on this week on truth has fallen in the streets. And it has in our country and all over the world for that matter. But what's more important is it's beginning to fall even in our local churches. And we need to contend for that and make sure that doesn't happen. The words earnestly contend has to do with kind of like a boxing, heavy contender, if you will, in a boxing match. And the Bible tells us that we are to fight the good fight of faith. And ladies and gentlemen, we're in a greater fight today, I suppose, than we ever have been in my lifetime when it comes to Christianity. I mean, we never dealt with transgender things in the past. We never dealt with those issues in the past. We dealt with sodomy or homosexuality in the past, but we haven't dealt with the things that are coming up today and the things that are yet to come in the future. So, let me just say this. In the 30 years that we were allowed to pastor, we have fought this battle. We have fought the liquor crowd. We fought all that. Now, hear me. What I'm trying to tell you is this. The pastor becomes the shepherd, but he also becomes the head military man, if you will, in charge of fighting the fight of faith. He's here to lead. He's here to guide. He's here to encourage. He's here to exhort. He's here to preach. He's here to teach. He's here to challenge you to help you become what God wants you to become. And so I'm talking about this morning in your lesson, if you'll look at it with me, the importance of your pastor. And having said that, go back to Hebrews with me for just a moment. And I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 13, and there are a couple of verses here. In your lesson, you have verse 17. You can look at that in just a moment. Hebrews chapter 13, look at verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, watch it now, considering the end of their conversation. Now, you and I know it's easy to follow the chief shepherd. It's easy to follow Christ. Never made a mistake, never taught anything wrong, gave us the Word of God. But we are to follow, listen, we are to follow our pastor as we follow Christ, considering the end of the conversation. In other words, we got a lot of preachers that mess up. We got a lot of Christians that mess up. All of us know that. But the thing about it is, normally they either backslide, get out, whatever the cause is, it gets them out. Christ never changes. Look at the verse right after that. Notice this. It's powerful. He puts in there, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Never changes. Yes. Are y'all listening? So we always have. When somebody says, I can't go to church anymore, I can't get involved anymore because of this person or that person, you're forgetting the main person. Yes. And the main person is Christ Jesus, amen, our Lord. Now listen to me. The church is a bedrock of society. It's got to have a leader. And God chose that leader to be the under-shepherd. He chose that leader to be your pastor. It's called bishop in the Bible and other things, but the pastor as we know him. I refer to my preacher as preacher and pastor back home in the church that we're out of. But you and I have to understand from the very beginning, he's here to help. He's here to assist. Now, in your lesson, here it talks about a church has many pastors to assist the pastor. But there's only one pastor that gives an account for the church. Look at verse 17 in Hebrews. This is powerful here. Obey them. Now listen to me. In verse number 7, it said, remember them which have the rule over you. And then here it says, watch it now. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. And then he goes on to say, pray for us. Well, that's a good thing to do for the leader of the church. Amen. And we'll get to that in just a moment. But listen to me. The assistant pastors, if you have one or will have later as you grow, or staff, if you will, are accountable to the pastor. They all are accountable to the pastor. He is the one who organizes. He is the one who plans. He is the one who puts the programs together so that the church can grow, so that you as individual Christians can grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody gets upset, though, when it's kind of like with preaching on giving. Somebody gets upset when they hear words like submit yourselves or obey them that have the rule over you. But understand that this man, your pastor, has to give an account to God for every single one of you. That's why when he stands in the pulpit teaching, preaching, or maybe just sharing with you whatever it is, he has to consider the fact that he is, listen, he is the servant of God put here as the shepherd, under shepherd, if you will, under the chief shepherd, to do what Christ did when he was here. That was to teach, to love, to care, to rebuke. We don't like to hear about rebuke, but rebuke is necessary. Let me tell you what's missing in our churches, preacher. Holy Ghost conviction is missing in a lot of our churches today. Because we don't want the old in-your-face kind of preaching. Well, I didn't know there was any kind of other. Everybody remember a president by the name of Abraham Lincoln? Abraham Lincoln made this comment, and I may get the quote completely wrong, but he said, when I hear a preacher preach, I want to hear a preacher preach like he's fighting a hive of bumblebees. Now think about that. I watched a man attacked by bees in an open field dove hunting one time, stung him 20-something times, and those bees, listen to me, and he was doing this the whole time he running across the field. That's what Abraham Lincoln said. In other words, he wanted somebody to preach, to believe what they were preaching and preach as if they believed it. And so the thing about it is, all that's for your benefit and your account. I don't believe in angry, spirited preaching. I believe that we can be forward, and I think the Bible speaks for itself. But that's his responsibility, that he might give an account, the Bible said, and that he might do it with joy. I never got any, listen, joy out of problems in a church, out of negativeness in a church. I never got any joy out of that. I got joy out when people said, boy, that was good, preacher. I enjoyed that. Hurt a little bit, but I enjoyed that. Used to have people go out the door all the time and say, preacher said, you stepped on my toes today. And I'd always say to them, I wish I'd have stepped on your heart. If you just get your toes stepped on a little bit and walk out and nothing changes, that's not good. But if you get your heart touched, if you get your heart, listen, keeping your heart, and we don't have time to talk about how to keep your heart right now, but if you keep your heart right with God, and a man of God gets up with the Word of God, the truth, the faith, then it's going to do something in you that God expects for him to deliver and for you to respond to. And by the way, that brings around joy. And by the way, joy talks about joy in the presence of angels when a soul gets saved. That's what it's all about. Getting people saved, getting people baptized, discipling them, that's his responsibility. You know, the Bible said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, would you turn there for a moment? It's in your lesson, but I want you to get it ahead of time here real quickly. It's very important. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Don't you like the Bible, amen? Amen? Get to open it and stir it and read it. And my wife reads it more and better than I do, but I like reading my Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number, look at verse number 7. So that you are ensembles to all that believe in Macedonia. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 7. And Achaia, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place that your faith to God were spread abroad, so we need not to speak anything. Watch it now, for they themselves shew of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. Paul's speaking to them, and he said, how you turned to God from idols. By the way, this, you ought to write this down. This is the true definition of repentance. Look at it. They turned to God from idols to do what? To serve the living and true God. Isn't that amazing? And the thing about it is that Paul said that we were to follow him. Look at verse 6. You became followers of us and of who? The Lord. And so as your pastor follows the Lord, hear me, that's what it's talking about at the end of their conversation. So if he's following the Lord and teaching you the Word of God, then you're to follow him. You know, it's a good thing to have leaders. But leaders are of no consequence if we don't have followers. And if you have a pastor who stands up and delivers the Word of God, contending for the faith on your behalf, for your family, for your country, for your church, for your area, then you follow him. Paul said, follow me, because he's following the Lord. And that's the way it ought to be. Then look at on your lesson there quickly. Let's run through it. Look at capital B there on the first page. The pastor is God's gift to the local New Testament Baptist church. We've said something about that, but we have scripture to read here. In fact, it printed out. Look here, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12 said, and he gave, good key term, some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for what? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. In other words, to build you up. Do y'all see that? To build you up. Notice here, underneath there, Brother Nash is God's gift to the Gospel Light Baptist Church. So you can do what? So you can grow spiritually and be led in what you're supposed to do for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he's here for that benefit. Listen to me. How many of you have been here since Brother Nash has been here? Raise your hands. All right? Put your hand down. How many of you not? You just, okay, very good. You've come after he's been here a while. Are you getting fed?
Amen.
You're learning some things, aren't you? And a lot of it's good. All of it's good. But a lot of it's good. And it's, man, that's good. Until he gets on the rough stuff. But the rough stuff's good too. The tithe is the Lord's. Two amens out of that. Soul winning is our number one responsibility as a church. Now, when I say number one responsibility, I'm going to preach this morning on this responsibility thing. That's why the church exists.
Yes.
The church doesn't exist for me or you.
Right.
Even though it's here so we can learn to become soul winners, to learn to become workers in his vineyard, if you will, it's not here. The church is here to get souls saved. I'm so glad it was around when I got saved. Amen?
Amen.
Got saved in my home church there in Grand Prairie, Texas, in between Dallas and Fort Worth. And I'll say more about that later this week. But that's what Brother Nash has been given to this church for. All right? Look at the next statement here underneath. The pastor is sent by God. If you want to turn to your Bibles, you can. But Romans chapter 10, verse 14 and 15. I love this. Use this in missions a lot. The Bible said, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, bring glad tidings and good things. And look up here. That's what we talk about when we have missions conference, sending missionaries overseas. They're sent out of the local church, Acts 13, other scriptures. They're sent out of the local church to do what? To take the gospel to a country somewhere else. And you and I are to be a part of that with faith promise missions or giving to missions and et cetera, so that we can get the gospel not only to Jerusalem, but Judea and Samaria and what? The uttermost parts of the earth. All of that going on at the same time. And so that's a responsibility we have. God sent this preacher to train you in those matters. That's what he's here for. He will continue to do that. There'll be things that I've used this a lot lately, and I know the Word of God's not elementary, but there's some things we have heard over and over and over again, and we just hadn't gotten it yet. Some because they haven't grown yet. But if you're told to do something from the Word of God once, that should be enough. We know that. But if you're told that this is what God expects more than one time and we don't get it, it's not His fault. It becomes your fault. Does everybody understand that? So in other words, whatever he brings from this book, I'm not talking about Dr. Doolittle out here. I'm talking about the book of God and its truth, and it's printed there for you and I to read. And you've got a good old-fashioned King James Bible. Hear me well. We are responsible, obligated to obey what is being taught, what is being preached. What is the difference between preaching and teaching? Well, I used to say it's me coming from up here on the platform down here, and that's about all there is. You know, I'm loud no matter what I do, and I just have a desire and an inward whatever, call it fire or whatever, to get it out and talk about it. Amen? By the way, how many of you saved this morning? Don't raise your hand, just say amen.
Amen.
Isn't that a wonderful thing to know?
Amen.
Somebody had to drill that into you. I taught a Sunday school class, high school boys class. I was a youth pastor, member, Trinity Baptist Church, lost. Come in on Wednesday night, brought 45 kids in on a bus. Back then when they had the Awana program, and it was going strong, and that didn't take long to whatever. But brought them in, walked straight to my preacher's office, said, "Preacher, guess what? I don't think I'm saved." He said, "Well, Brother Buster," and that was my name growing up. He said, "Well, you know what to do?" And I said, I not only know what to do, preacher, I've memorized Romans Road. You memorize Scripture all you want. Devil knows Scriptures. But you got to be born again. You cannot be taught. You cannot be taught and discern until you've been born again. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Saved, whatever you want to call it. Here, listen to me. I couldn't understand the lesson material I was given. Just like this. I had lessons. Matthew chapter 13 is where I began. But my high school boys knew more than I did, and I knew something was wrong. The very next Sunday after I got saved on Wednesday night, I'm telling you, as I live and breathe, I could discern the Word of God. I could read it. I could understand it. I began to study it. I could walk into my class with more confidence. Why? Because I have been taught from the pulpit of my church. I have been preached to from the pulpit of my church, and Holy Ghost conviction got a hold of me, and through the time that I was actually in the church working, lost and on my way to hell, my preacher was teaching truth. He was preaching truth. And through that, I became convicted and got saved while I was a member of a church. You know, there's church members going to hell someday because they failed to get the truth, the faith, once delivered unto the saints. Thank God for God calling preachers. I never thought I'd ever be one. I was talking to some military personnel, and I wanted to be what they call a lifer. I loved the part in the military. I did. I loved the airplanes. But God had other plans for me that I had no idea about. Amen. Exodus chapter 3 there. It says here, God said unto Moses, I am that I am. We all remember that story in Exodus chapter 3. He said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Aren't you glad God sent Moses unto the children of Israel? You see how powerful that is? No mistake, God sent Brother Nash here. None. Don't care what happened in the past. You may have got saved in the past. Past is behind us now. When I left Trinity Baptist Church in Wills Point, 1 month later, they brought my son, Jeremy, middle son, into pastor. Guess what? It's his church. He's the under-shepherd now. He's the pastor. He's the one that is in control. He's the one God will hold account for from the time I left until he decides he wants to leave there or whatever. We have a responsibility. I believe he takes that responsibility very seriously. Notice what he says about Jeremiah here. I love this. Before I formed thee in the belly. Y'all understand God decides if it's male and female in the belly in the womb of a mother?
Amen.
Not after they get out. Yeah. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Are y'all with me? My son put up on a sign. Got a big sign out in front of the church there, that one I was just talking about. He said, boys' restrooms are for boys. Girls' restrooms are for girls. If you don't know, check your birth certificate. But notice what he said. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Aren't you glad God knew? Read Romans chapter 1 when you get home. Read the first chapter. You hold truth in unrighteousness. God put in you the ability to worship Him, even in your unrighteous state. However, you had to be saved in order to do that. Boy, it's a powerful verse. Watch this. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. Watch now. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. In other words, God had already chosen Jeremiah. And boy, Jeremiah didn't have an easy task either. Jeremiah preached to him. They didn't listen to a thing. Not a thing. But, next page. We know there are some preachers that are not called, but yet they go and pastor anyways. A lot of this is in the interdenominational works and, you know, name it, claim it ministries and things like that, but they're in our Baptist churches as well. Look here at Jeremiah chapter 14. The Bible said, then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not. By the way, somebody said, well, how do you know if they're lying or not? It's right here. It's that simple. If it's not written in this Bible, then you can question. If it's written in this Bible, you just have to accept it.
Amen.
Obey it. Hello?
Yes.
Truth is truth. Truth will never change. And yet some people try to build upon this truth, add to this truth. Hello? Now, a pastor is here to sometimes explain to you what it is saying. Bring something out of that scripture that maybe you can't. That's why God calls pastors. That's why God calls preachers. And as you develop in your life as a child of God, and you later become a Sunday school teacher, God will work with you. Or your preacher will hand out material like this. And the material will help you to understand what He wants you to understand and what He wants possibly those that you're teaching, no doubt, to understand as well, all right? But there are those who get into the pulpit that ought not be in the pulpit. Look at verse 15. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, I sent them not. Yet they say, sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine shall those prophets be consumed. In other words, there are false prophets out there. Satan has his ministers of light. You know that. Amazing. Amazing. That's another subject. We can't get into all that. I'm just talking about your preacher today. Watch this. Jeremiah 23, verse 32. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet, watch, I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. Now listen, I know that this sounds like I've got a gift and I don't here. But you ask my wife, I can usually tell if that preacher's real or not. You know how I can tell? Not just by the preaching and teaching, but by how they conduct themselves. Who they're around more than they are others. You know, there are preachers out there today that are around women more than they are men. Are y'all listening? And I'm telling you this for a reason. God wants you to know it. There have been men in the pulpit that ended up being gay. I can name them. You wouldn't know them. I can name them for you. There are men in the pulpit that ran off of somebody else's wife. Are y'all with me? Now, sin is sin, and anybody can be succumbed by sin. Everybody knows that, by the flesh. Amen. But when you get a man of God that takes the Word of God and explains the Word of God and teaches the Word of God and doesn't just say, this is how it is, but explain to you why it's this way, amen, takes and breaks it down, studies it, then you know your spirit beareth witness with his spirit, their spirit. Amen. Are you listening? It's just there. It's just there. Well, every pastor is called to do a lot of things, but let's look at this down here. These are the most important thing I want to get to before we finish. Notice it says in number one here, oversee the people's work for God. Look at Acts 20:28 here. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, or a bishop, or a pastor, or a leader, or an example, if you will, which he has purchased with his own blood. Your pastor has been sent to you by God, to the Gospel Light Baptist Church, for you that have been here since he's been here, for you that have come after, and for so many more. I'm telling you right now, ladies and gentlemen, I believe with his spirit and what I've talked to him before we got here, but after getting here, I mean, the hope and the desire for this church and this area, if he was to unload it all on you in one day, it would blow your mind. How many of you want your church to grow? Certainly. How many of you want to see people saved? Amen. Anybody remember a man by the name of Saul? Not King Saul, but the one who became Apostle Paul? Y'all remember him? Do you understand that because of the Apostle, or Saul becoming Apostle Paul, getting saved and becoming the Apostle Paul, you got the gospel today? He's the one who took it to Rome, got into the European area, and it began to spread. Are y'all listening? But you know, at one time, he wasn't any better than ISIS. You realize that he was going out, getting Christians and putting them in prison, feeding them to ravenous beasts, man, woman, boy, girl. Y'all listen. And yet on that road to Damascus that day. Whew, aren't you glad you got that story in the Bible? You can say he knocked him off. There was an earthquake. No, I don't care what you say. He fell off his horse. And we make light of it, but the very first thing he said when he looked up, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? You're going to hear a lot of teaching, a lot of preaching on doing. Yeah. And we are to be doers of the word, not hearers only. Yes. There was a preacher and a lawyer and a doctor out deer hunting. And they'd come down the fire break by the fence there, and they were headed down, and all three of them had their rifles, and they threw the rifle up, and all of them shot at one time. Boom! Just one boom. That 10-point deer fell right there on the ground. They went up there and they were arguing. I mean, the preacher says mine, the lawyer says mine, you know, and the doctor says mine, and all of a sudden they heard somebody behind them looking around, here come the game warden. That game warden come up and he said, what's going on here? He said, well, we shot this deer, and he said, well, what's all the argument about? Well, I shot the deer, preacher said. No, I shot the deer, doc. Oh, I shot the deer, lawyer said. He said, I can help you here. I can tell you who shot that deer. It was a preacher. Well, how do you know that? Well, look here. It went in one ear and out the other. Look up here now. Look up here now. Look up here. Look up here. Don't let what's being taught from the Bible go in one ear and out the other. How many times do we have to be told something to do something? If you were in my family growing up, my boys made it just fine, but they got some whoopings.
Amen.
Not spankings, whoopings. In fact, if they'd have had Child Protective Services back there, I'd have been in prison today. In fact, if they had them as far back as my granny, oh my goodness, I can remember the whelps. I remember cutting the branch to get the spanking with. Amen?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. But now listen. How many times the preacher had to preach something for us to get it as children of God? Now, if you didn't get it, maybe you just don't want it. But then you don't want the blessings of God. This man is brought to you as a pastor and under-shepherd to teach you truth. The embodiment of faith. He is to he's to teach you truth. He is to preach truth. And you're to accept truth and allow the truth work in you. And when you feel that unction of the Holy Ghost of God saying, you know what? He's right. Then you need to obey truth. Because if you don't and your life is messed up, there's no joy in that. The joy is when they get it. The joy is when they get it, when they get saved, when they get out of religion, when they get out of being a church member and they actually get born again. That's joy. It's joy when they begin to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to a point where one day they walk up to the pastor and say, Pastor, I need to go work somewhere. I need to do something. And you may not be ready for a class, but you're ready to go soul winning. Everybody is commanded to go soul winning. Had a lady one time, and she is a dear friend of ours today. In fact, supports our ministry through her local church today. And she one day said to me, said, well, preacher, this soul winning stuff, this is just right after she got in and got saved, this soul winning stuff, it ain't for women. I said, okay. What do you mean it ain't for women? Well, look here. She took me there where he sent the disciples out, the men, two by two. Ain't no women in there. I said, okay, you're reading the Scripture. I understand that. But I took her to Scripture. It talked about all of us. It talked about the body. It talked about people that were born again. We're all to be soul winners.
Yes, sir.
Amen?
Yes.
And the thing about it, if you're not being somewhat of a soul winner, you may not be there yet. You may just be one who hands out a tract. But this is what God sent him here for. He sent him here to teach you and preach to you truth. And when we obey truth, God gets the glory. He's full of joy. And I got news for you. When you lead somebody to Christ and they walk down that aisle and they go through the baptism water, baptism has nothing to do with you getting saved. It's what you do after you get saved. But you get up there, you get excited. I don't know about you, but in our church, they don't clap about much of anything. But buddy, when somebody gets saved and gets in baptistry water and follows it and wants to profess their salvation, their faith to everybody else, we clap. We have a good time with it. Amen?
Amen.
They get excited.
Amen.
I always wonder why we don't get excited when they get saved. I mean, clap at that. In fact, there's been some good singing lately where I say, yeah, I'm going to make this a clapping church. I mean, there's some good singers. I mean, there really is. Amen. Well, y'all in for a mess this week. I'm sorry. Oversee the people's work for God. Nick, oversee the work of God. Here's where it comes into organizing, planning. You've got this campaign. Take it seriously. It's not just something drummed up to have something to do. It's to build the body of Christ. It's to get people saved. It's to challenge your lives to do more. We don't have much time.
That's right.
Don't have much time. I know you've heard this for years. The Lord could come at any moment, but He can. There's not anything in the Bible to keep Him, any prophecy to keep Him from coming. It's done. The only thing left, I keep looking at these guys on the front row. I'm going to look at you. I'll look back here. The only thing left, how many of you would like to see the Lord come back and this thing be over with?
Amen.
Well, here's what you're going to do. Get busy soul winning. Because the only thing left is that last soul being saved. And you may be the one. Wouldn't you love to be the one leading that lady or that young man or that teenager to the Lord, and all of a sudden when you're leading them and they accept the Lord as their Savior, at that point you hear the trump. And guess what? You're out of here. Now you can hang around for mid-trib if you want. I'm out with pre-trib.
Amen.
Amen. And the sad part about it, ladies and gentlemen, you'll get this stuff taught to you week in and week out. I've seen some work this man's done. In fact, he gave me a copy of some material he's been studying. God has given to this man a mind that I don't even have when it comes to finding truth and presenting it to you. God knows the church. He knows the history. He knows the history future. He knows what He wants. And you are becoming the body of Christ for that future to come. Are you listening? And it's going to come through the leadership of this man right here. Follow his leadership. Get behind him. Got to hurry now. Running out of time. Oversees the work of God. Number three, he feeds God's people with the word of God. Look at verse number 1 of 1 Peter 5. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the suffering of Christ, also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. What? Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre like radio preachers do. Filthy lucre just means making millions off of everybody, but of a ready mind. So in other words, here is a pastor feeding the flock of God and taking the oversight of. Listen, he'll get to know you, and many of you he already does, but he'll get to know you. He'll get to know your family. He'll get to know your temperament. You say, well, how do you know this? I pastored 30 years. You'll get to know them. You'll get to know their likes and dislikes. You'll get to know he likes hats. Amen? Looks pretty good, don't it? That's how my wife and I met. I was wearing a black felt. That's old life. Anyways. Hey, it worked. 45 years later, it worked. Amen. Best thing that ever happened to her life outside of salvation. And ladies, y'all can get with her and find out whether that's really true or not. I look forward. Let me say this quickly. I look forward to going to Sunday school and hearing my preacher teach. I have not sat under a preacher for years because I was the pastor. But to get to go to my Sunday school class when I'm at home and hear Dr. Todd Laster speak and teach, and he don't have the same temperament I do as far as when it comes to preaching. But he teaches truth. Truth is truth. And ladies and gentlemen, it's only truth. I am the way, the what?
The truth.
And the life. He's the truth. Oh, we could go forever on that. He's the truth. But listen to me now. Feeding God's people with the Word of God. Let's go on. Number 4. One day, give an account to God of everything that goes on in the church. We just read it. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourself. That doesn't mean he's going to be authoritative, but he is a leader. Go in and tell your boss tomorrow that I ain't listening to anything else you say. I'm going to do it my way. You won't last long. Huh? Yeah, some of you guys say, well, my wife does everything I tell her to do. Would you stop me out here and ride a light line down? Well, that don't work. I do say this from time to time. Somebody said, well, what's the secret to marriage of 45 years? And the family, where's the family that brought us in this morning? Right back here? Where are they at? He's teaching Sunday school. I don't have my glasses on. I take my glasses off because I can only see y'all. Beyond that, I don't care what they look like. Amen. But there's a key to longevity in marriage. Guys, you want it? Amen. Ladies, you want me to give it to them? Here it is. Yes, ma'am. If you'll learn yes, ma'am, and every once in a while I love you, it goes a long ways. But he's going to give an account of everything. He must give an account before God for everything. Psalm 105:15 saying, touch not mine anointing and do my prophets no harm. Man, a lot of people try to destroy the life of a preacher and a pastor. You know, when a pastor messes up, there's a way to go about it. And one of them is not to destroy him. My Bible tells me we're to restore them. By the way, our ministry is Galatians 6:1-2. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in the fault, ye which are spiritual, restore. Y'all remember that?
Yes, sir.
Amen. In fact, church discipline is for the purpose of restoring, not getting rid of people. Say amen.
Amen.
And then the Bible said in Numbers here, and we got to hurry on. The Lord came down the pillar of cloud, stood in the door of the tabernacle, called Aaron and Miriam, and they came both came forth. He said unto, and he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. with him will I speak? Will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently not in dark speeches? And the similitude of the Lord shall be whole. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against him, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. Now look up here. Always had time to develop. That's a good message right there. But hear me well. God will give to this man exactly what he knows you need. In other words, he may not be able to see it right away. But God knows everyone in here today. He knows every thought, everyone, where you are spiritually. You can fake the preacher. You can fake somebody around you, but you can't fake God. He knows you. And hear me well. He may not know exactly what you need. So I say this to you. We've got to close it down. You want something from God? You need to pray for your preacher all the time. Lord, I need something from you. You may have a specific need. You may come in one Sunday or next Sunday or some Wednesday night, and the man of God cover that need that you have. But if you don't pray and expect, don't expect. But if you pray and expect God to speak to you and to help you, pray for your preacher. God, give my preacher just what I need. God, fill him with the Holy Ghost. God, fill him with knowledge that I need. Fill him with that which I... It may just be a scripture he reads to you that day. It may just be in his prayer that ministered to you. That's what God has the man of God here for. Hear me. He saved Morris for the same blood you are. He's a child of God first, but he's also your pastor. He is to be beloved. He is to be taken care of. He is to be prayed for. His family needs to be prayed for. Never overlook the wife or the children. Love them. Love him. And I promise you, God, listen, God will build your church. God will build your family. And this man of God and this woman of God, his wife, will be there when you need them. It's an office of God sent to help you contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. You need that. I still need that. We all need that. Can you say amen?
Amen.
All right. How many of you love your preacher? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Follow him. Obey him. As long as he lines up with this. You obey him. Because the Bible says there's joy. There's joy for him and there's joy for you. Father in heaven, thank you for Sunday school. Thank you, Lord. Never enough time. And Lord, sometime we get outside of the lines on our own, but you're such a good God. And Lord, thank you for that office of pastor. Having been one, I know how important it is for people to follow, for people to take the truth and assimilate it in their life and live it and obey it and Father, end up doing it, maybe being called into full-time ministry themselves, teaching a Sunday school class, et cetera, et cetera. So God, have your will and way this week. Thank you for the opportunity. Bless, I pray now as we dismiss in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.